Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chaos Theory here with Rodney and Wags. And my friends there from Sue Patrick there. Anyway, nah, for real, welcome to Chaos Theory on this wonderful Hump Day Wednesday, Whip It Out Wednesday, Ass Master Wednesday, Ass Lead of the Week Wednesday, whatever you want to call it. It's a Wednesday, baby. We're halfway through the week. We got a lot to get you through. We got some playoff basketball to talk about. The Stanley Cup playoffs has taken shape and has formed. We got a little bit of that to talk about. We got some baseball to talk about. We got some college baseball to talk about. We don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. Welcome to Chaos Theory. You can find me on Twitter, not the fake Wags. You can find Rodney there on Twitter at the Rodney R, and then on Instagram at the underscore Rodney R. I'm on the Instagram at the Wagner Wire. That's where you can send us all the candidates for athlete of the week. We usually roll those out around 10:30. But yeah, be that as it may, if you're out there out and about on that, you know, mobile, if you're mobile or whatnot, and hit us up on that damn Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Rodney, we are in some serious trouble in terms of collegiate baseball here, my guy. You kind of flirted with disaster just a minute ago talking about it. RGV, what's their program ranked to 20? Not even that, like worse than that. I think they're almost 250 or something like that, man. They're not a club to write home about. You know what I mean? Definitely not a club to write home about. And it was we thought it was going to be an experiment going in. And if you were at the dish last night, threw up on yourself. You were disgusted. And we got a lot of questions. I'm sure people are calling for the head of David Pierce, but hey man, it's gonna be some ups and downs, and this is a down one. And if I could be a little bit like Dan Hurley here, get us while you can now. That's the only thing I can think of, man. That's the only thing I can think of to say is to give anybody hope is get us while you can now. And that's not even hopeful. It's just like, damn, dude, what the hell is going on? Oh, did we push the panics button? Been pushed clearly, it's been bashed a few times. There's no answer. There appears not to be an answer.
We suck.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
You can't even hide the sign anymore. This is not the Longhorns. Not going to Omaha. Not even wishful thinking. The Longhorns are awful.
Yeah. RGV is now 18-15 after that win last night. Texas is 22-16. And I had a friend in the Valley that posted, she posted that result, and she was like, wow, look at that win. You know, she lives down there in the Rio Grande Valley. And I said, and it wasn't that close. I mean, it was 14-0 at one point. I mean, what in the hell is going on here? I mean, these pitchers are like, it's like they're afraid to pitch. I mean, it's just so much apprehension right here. You hit nine batters, dude. You hit nine batters. You walk 11. I mean, what?
Free bases. And no,
Yeah. I mean, you're walking. I mean, you're intentionally walking people. And then the next thing you know, you're just walking runs in, you know?
Hit batters to with bases goodness. Loaded.
It. Have you ever seen the Augie Garrido rant?
Oh yeah, I mean, who hasn't? Like that's. Oh my god! I think it's a damn prerequisite to being on the air, right? Then, or to being able to talk about college baseball or Texas baseball.
It. This
I don't know if David Pierce has a rant in him like that to kind of turn this thing around. I mean, that was after that. I think they racked off I can't even remember the wins, but they went on to win the championship or whatnot. But I mean, yeah. God.
That's not going to happen.
You know, that's very wishful thinking. That's a different dream. You're in a nightmare scenario that you're not coming out of until 2000. Hopefully you come out of it in 2025.
You know,
it's going to be a long year.
We talked about this yesterday morning on the show that, you know, bringing the kid out, bringing Thomas in, you know, to pitch, it seemed like a desperate move. I mean, it would be one thing, you know, if you're experimenting with things, if things were going in a better direction or whatever. Hey, he did all right.
No, I mean, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Like, I didn't mind it against RGV or against, you know, to find. And I'm sure that's what Pierce was thinking. Like, all right, hey, you know, it's a team that's just over 500, right? I mean, I really do think their ball club or their program is nationally ranked around 250, something like that. I saw a tweet or a text from Jeff earlier or last night, you know, with that stat on there. So I'm pretty sure it's like 250 or whatnot.
Yeah.
But still, like, that, it's a ball club that you shouldn't be losing to. And it's a ball club that if you have any type of, I guess, experiment, or you want to play around with your bullpen or your roster, or throw some guys in the rotation to see if they still got something that they had in high school, maybe that's the team to do it, or the program to do it against. But yeah, it did not work out the way I'm, but like you said, I mean, he wasn't that bad last night. It's just that, you know, he didn't get to go that far. And then, all the other arms that came in, it was just a catastrophe. 20 free bases. Like that's outrageous. That's just outrageous, man. 20 free bases.
Yeah. The fact that on a Tuesday night game that you're using 10 pitchers, and then you have the stat line, the box score that you cannot find on the Texas Athletic website. I have it pulled up on the RGV site. And it's very telling, where you see it right there. But you know, the concerning part about this is, you know, so much of what we're seeing, I mean, we're seeing fundamental mistakes. I mean, errors, and I mean, things that mistakes that you shouldn't be making at this level of baseball. I mean, these are prospects that come in, you know, I mean, imagine these are RGV kids that given the opportunity to play at Texas.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's their World Series, is it not? It's got to be right. Their World Series.
And this is huge for them. And it's very telling. And I think, you know, they talk about all the time to where when things are happening like this, that a team or whatever, you bottom out. I mean, you have bottomed out right here. I mean, you have bottomed out here.
I hope this is bottom. I really do hope that. I hope it can't get worse. I don't think it can get worse, but I hope this is bottom.
You know, you hadn't lost to this bunch since 1971.
DB, yeah, we got it. It's the worst. Like, that's why we're saying bottom. But we're saying that we hope it doesn't get any worse than this, DB. Yeah, you are absolutely right. It's pretty terrible. Pretty bad.
Yeah, 1971 since you lost to this group, and that tells you. And then the manner that you lose to this group. I mean, if this was a 5-6 ball game,
yeah, or something, this was an onslaught, man. This was throttling. This looked like you went out there and you didn't even give a shit. Honestly, like it.
Yeah,
it's gonna raise some eyebrows, that's for sure. And I'm sure that, like, it's not just us that are talking about it. I'm sure the Longhorns are the talk of college baseball. Well, one, it's probably shock. There's probably a lot of fan bases out there that are kind of chuckling at this. I mean, hell, if you're the Aggies or little brother, would you not be chuckling at this? I mean,
right when they become number one, when they become the number one team in the land,
right,
you do this.
Yeah, like
I'm sure they're having a lot of fun with this.
It's polar ends at this point, man. And man, when it rains, it pours. That's the only thing I can say. Not to be a book of cliches, but I mean, damn, it's Texas baseball seems like a bad book of cliches.
You know, isn't it kind of odd right now? You know, just kind of in the recent past, where football's kind of been the one struggling, and basketball has been somewhat, there's some hope there, and then of course baseball is always what it is, and it's like a total flip.
Baseball
right
is
now.
Usually like the continuity, right? Like baseball is usually like the, you know, at least the consistent piece that's going to give us somewhat of a smile on our face. Yeah. Right now it's just like you're searching for smiles and you're coming up dry, man. I mean,
yeah, dude, it's like
you can't
football.
You can't show up and play. Like we talk about it all the time, man. You can't show up and make unforced errors and beat yourselves. You just can't. You're going to lose ball games.
Yeah. It's like football breaks your heart. Basketball disappoints you and underachieves, but yet there's baseball. And this year it's football. That's it. I mean, other than the women's sports, because Lord knows they got their shit together.
Hey, man, and you know we like talking women's sports here.
That's right. That's exactly what we do around here. Wednesday is women's sports day. See, Caitlin Clark getting drafted broke all kinds of records on TV.
I did, man. She was wearing Prada too, dude. And then
$17,000 outfit, dude.
And then what? Like her teammate, Kate Martin, or Caitlin Martin or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember her first name, but I know her last name's Martin. I think it's Katie. Anyways, she was in the crowd supporting her or whatnot, and then she gets called and drafted herself. So, I mean, hey, shout out to you know, the Iowa Hawkeyes out there, the Lady Iowa Hawkeyes, for having a couple of their players getting drafted. I saw Angel Reese getting drafted as well to Chicago. Shout out to Charm City as well. Yeah, man. I
I'm not gonna lie. I tuned into it. I tuned into a little bit of the draft. I had it on one of the TVs.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear? So I saw this yesterday. I was going to bring it up yesterday, but I figured I'd wait till Wednesday because it's Women's Sports Day and stuff.
Look, all right, hold on. We got to get out of this because BK hit me up with that shit too when we were at this event with Pick Sports. Yeah. He's just like, hey, you know, this is Wags, and then for it's like just like a vibe or like a personal vibe that I'm getting, or maybe it's just like a damn the word's eluding me right now at the moment, like a damn what's the word that you have, or what's the damn thing that you have? I can't think of it. Anyways, he was talking to his girl, and I all of a sudden it came over me like, oh my god, please, I hope you don't think that I'm a chauvinist if you watch the show. So anyways, man, I'm having like a personal vendetta against myself or whatnot when I think of the word. You know, I'm having word slippage or word association problems at the moment.
Pig.
Huh? I'm not a pig.
I know. I'm just so
complex. I'm having my own. I'm creating my own self.
Oh, I got you. So, I got you. I saw that the commissioner, the WNBA commissioner, herself a very attractive woman. Now I'm the pig.
Not about attraction, Rodney.
No, that's right. It's about leadership.
Brains.
That she said that coming up here, maybe within a year, they're going to add another franchise, which would be 13. How about Austin? Bring a WNBA team to Austin. That would fit in well
here. I'd be down with that. I'd get down with that.
I think kind of with the Austin vibe and the Austin feel and mindset and so forth, I think that would be great here. I think that would be great here. Just something else.
Because we don't have any women's professional sports. So
we had that lingerie football league that played at the HEB Center.
Now,
remember that?
Hey, let me tell you something. That's an actual, like, the lingerie. I forget what is it actually the LFL?
I think it was.
I know Baltimore had a club too. And one of my friends that I played high school with was one of the coaches.
Yeah. I mean,
yo,
dude, I went to a couple of those games. Shit. I was beating them up to be the PA guy. It was like when I was doing a lot of PA, I'm like, hey, do y'all need a PA announcer? I can do it. And they never called. So,
yeah, the Lingerie Football League. Yeah.
Story of my life. The women's league never called me. But yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a great fit around here. I mean, I think it would do extremely well here. I don't know. You never know. I didn't hear of any possible city.
I don't even know if Lingerie I think it's Lingerie Football League. I think that's what it's called. I don't even know that's still going on. They can't even call lingerie, right? It's not lingerie. They're not wearing lace.
No, I mean, they're wearing
biker shorts. They're wearing like Nike biker shorts or whatnot.
Everything's
kept together.
Yeah, it's like biker shorts. They're wearing biker shorts.
They're not like coming out like satin lace and shit like that. Like, that's the thing.
And they hit each other. I mean, they hit each other really good.
Yeah, they pop. They can definitely pop.
It's all tucked in there because some of those hits, I mean, you'd have stuff popping out and flying around and exposing. And there's kids there, for crying out loud. So you can't be having that kind of stuff. But, yeah. I wonder if they still have that. We need to do some investigating. That'd be another TSU night.
Nice. Rick Vaughn. Ricky Wild Thing Vaughn.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah.
That's what Texas needs. Talk about arms, talk about pitchers. They could use themselves one hell. Not even, you know, just another starter to compliment OBJ and Ace Whitehead or whatnot. Or hell, are we saying those names backwards? OBJ is still king, man. Look, pitchers go through shit. You know what I mean? And hopefully, it looks like every pitcher is going through something there, you know, for Texas. But I mean, hopefully, you know, another arm can emerge and something can rise. I saw somebody, you know, text something in the chat line. If Texas needs NIL money or whatever, if they can use that NIL money to get more pitchers to come to Texas, guys, it's rough and it's going to be rough for a while. So it's not going to be an immediate fix. I don't think any amount of money is going to turn it around. I think it's going to be a 2-year fix. I mean, maybe when the talent's gone, man. And you'd think it wouldn't be hard to supplement talent coming to, you know, this program or whatnot, but it just doesn't look like all the talent's coming together. That's the thing. The talent's there. You can see the talent on the squad. It's just got to come together, guys.
Yeah. And here's something that's very concerning to me that I thought about yesterday.
We are doomed. I mean, we're doomsdaying for a good reason, Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, we got to lighten up a little bit. I think the ship's going to be right in due time.
And Burnt Orange Yeti brings up something really cool, or not cool, but a very, very valid point on the Coda text line, 222-9328. How about blowing the confidence of the entire pitching staff by throwing Snake Farm out there? And it's like, you know, I thought about that yesterday. It's like, man, if I...
Or again, maybe that, I was thinking that, but also maybe I was thinking that Pierce is trying to get
motivational
the
way.
The bullpen or the in the rotation to answer and to own up to some things, right? Like, hey man, if we're struggling this bad, maybe I'm searching for answers. Maybe it's on you to kind of rise up and you know play a little ball here, right? Used the word motivation. Locate your cojones there and let's go back to the ballpark and get to work, man.
Yeah, Hoop Dog also, kind of back to the WNBA thing, and this is my thought as well, and I see it in the YouTube chat line as well. I mean, WNBA, play at the HEB Center. I mean, I think that's the perfect venue for that. I mean, you fill that thing up. I mean, the mood is big. The mood is expensive, for one thing, I would imagine, you know, to get in contract to play there with all the regulatory stuff of the university and so forth. So, yeah, let them play at the HEB Center. Do the Austin Spurs still play? I mean, and pardon my... negligence for not knowing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also personal play.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Do something like that. I mean, I think that would be really cool. So hopefully they are listening to Texas Sports Unfiltered and they'll bring them. CB, I agree. Cameron Brink, I had no idea who that was.
Dude, did you see the story on Cameron Brink's mom, how she was a part of the marketing deal with Dawn Staley's, the first production of Dawn Staley's shoe?
No, I did not. Yeah.
Dude, no. Cameron Brink's been in the game for a while, man. She's been around the WNBA scene for, well, she hadn't been playing in the WNBA, obviously, but she's been around that scene since she was a little girl.
Yeah, that crazy, that tall drink of water stood up, and I said, well, hello there.
Yeah. Good girl.
Well, hello there.
Hello there, little lady. She ain't little.
No,
tall drink of water, like you just mentioned, man.
Tall drink of water. Ike. Anyway, that's a nice attractive woman. Or what
a nice attractive woman that you sent out. I mean, I don't know what she does, Rodney. You didn't give me a synopsis on your athlete of the week candidate, but you're gonna have to break that down and give me what she does. Or did you, or was that just an admirer that you sent me?
I don't know. I sent a few things. We'll see who it is. We'll see who it is. If there's a name, hopefully I'll remember what she does.
Or Key Alves?
We'll figure it out when she pops up.
I hope you know the requirements to where they have to be an athlete.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she is. She is.
Okay.
She is. Okay. Yes, Jake. Every limb, every branch.
Hey, we had some basketball last night.
Yeah, we did.
You want to talk about that? You want to get into it?
Hey, man, I thought the Lakers were going to throw the game, but immediately I saw,
Zion getting hurt, too? How about that? Man.
It's pretty rough, dude. That is pretty rough right there. But, I mean, the more that I sat and watched that, you know, I thought, well, if you're the Lakers, I mean, do you take a chance? And again, they're not going to throw the game. But is it one of those things where you kind of give a half-hearted effort to avoid Denver, and then you lose last night, and then, hell, you lose again, and it's like you're out, like Golden State. So
yeah, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Golden State, you know, bowed out last night. I thought they'd be able to kind of galvanize and – be able to make a run and get into this thing. I don't know how far they would have gone, you know, especially with Clay not being able to be the third guy that the Warriors, I can't believe I'm saying that Clay is the third guy.
Yeah.
It's time. Father time, man. Father time gets everybody, dude.
Are they done?
I mean, clearly they got to supplement Clay.
Yeah.
Like that's, Clay's just your three guy. He's not even a 3-and-D guy anymore. I mean, I love the effort's there. It's just the speed's not there. Like the lateral movement that Clay used to have, he didn't dribble much. He didn't have to dribble, but dude, on defense, he could lock you down on D. He was pretty good at D-ing up on the perimeter, man. I think they got a year left. I do. Of course, it all falls on Steph, right? Like as long as Steph is on that roster and as long as he can keep going, I think the Warriors are in contention, but the problem is that they could be falling into the purgatory that the Wizards were in for the past couple of years, where you're just, you're around, you know, the 9, 10, 11 spot, and you're not even really, you know, you're kind of just flirting with the playoffs, and you're not even really getting in. You don't even have, you know, a bad enough season to acquire lottery picks. So,
you kind of got to
shit or get off the pot in terms when you're in that position in basketball, because it's the land of purgatory, man. You got to make moves to beefing up and strengthen up your roster, or you got to understand the fact that you're probably in rebuild mode and tank a little bit and get that lottery pick and then start to rebuild that way.
Yeah. It's like we've talked about, with a lot of the NFL teams, to where it's like you get to a certain point and, you know, if you're drafting in the late teens into the 20s, I mean, you're going to get a quality player, but you're not going to get something that's going to be a franchise changer that's going to take you to the next. It's not like a Wimby, you know, what the Spurs have done to where
do we look at that wrong? Do we use that value? Like when we try and quantify that value and evaluate, you know, that high draft pick.
Yeah.
Do we look at that wrong? Or are we evaluating it wrong? Like just because they're drafted in the high, you know, the high first round or whatnot, and we expect them to perform immediately, instant gratification.
Yeah.
Whereas you're seeing, I also agree, like if you're getting a quarterback within the first five picks, I think that they should be that good or the potential should be there within the first quarter of the season to get them on the pro level. I didn't think CJ Stroud would turn out the way he did in the pros, but damn, like that should be the damn prototype, right? That should be the standard from here on out.
Yeah.
Of course, that's on the skill set of CJ Stroud. You know, a lot of people aren't on that same level or don't have that same mentality. But again, like I'm wondering if we are using a method of evaluation to kind of evaluate these first round draft picks unfairly. You know what I mean? Why not let them sit? Why not let them, you know, kind of learn a little bit from the veterans or whatnot, and then help craft their skill set. I mean, I don't know. You got to have a little bit of accumulation or acclimatize, right? You got to acclimatize a little bit to the damn league or adapt to the damn league, because the speed, we talk about it all the time, the speed that you're coming from with college, it's just not the same level of speed that's there in the NFL. It's all over speed. It's all NFL speed all the time, man. College, you got one or two guys that can fly. Everybody in the NFL can fly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the difference between high school and
I'm with you, look at this, Ronnie. I'm with Jake here, dude. That's super weak. It's a wide receiver draft. It's a wide receiver draft and a line and an offensive line draft. They're making these quarterbacks out to be quarterbacks that they're not.
He might be talking about basketball.
It's all for selling days on draft or marketing days on draft.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of it is because you do see, like, when you go, like we've talked about in the past, when you're a high draft pick, you know, you pick whoever, like all these quarterbacks that we're talking about, you're going to go to a system like Washington or New England or somewhere that is in desperate need, that's in rebuild, that is in total chaos, or new coaching staffs or new GMs. You're going into rebuild. Like, you know, when we talk about Jaden Daniels going to Washington, I personally think Daniels is the better quarterback than the guy that's going to go number one, but he's going to go into a system to where it is totally revamped. So I don't know what's going to happen there with him. Michael Penix keeps coming up. If Michael Penix goes later in the draft to a Seattle, even to a Dallas, because I've heard him thrown into the Dallas conversation, something like that. I mean, it's a much better fit, because, and that's like with the NBA, like we're talking about with the NBA, if you go deeper, you're going somewhere that's more established. Right. If you go early, you're going to a shit show.
It's going to be all on you to save the program or save the franchise, probably.
That's
too,
right.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, chances are you're going to be the scapegoat. You know what I mean?
Right.
As excited as people are to get you on draft day, they're probably going to be as excited to get rid of you if you don't perform. So
then you become Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Johnny Manziel. Go down the list. I mean,
well, I wouldn't put Johnny Manziel and Justin Fields in the same sentence. You know. Like they're two completely different quarterbacks. I'm with Rob here, really hoping that the Pats don't get May, but instead go at the top with a wide receiver and O-line, or maybe get a good QB in round two. So, Rob, here's what I think about your Pats, my guy. Something strikes me to where I don't think they're going to utilize their pick in the first round. I do feel like they're going to, if Mayo learned anything from Belichick in that front office, it's acquire picks, right? It's not all about, you know, the early round picks. It's about getting as many picks as possible, because that way you get to evaluate your talent. You get more talent than everybody else is getting, right? Yeah. Here's the thing about that. If you drop Daniels, right, if you trade Daniels, and I would allow Oakland to come up and get Daniels, because one, Antonio Pierce, you flirt that little carrot out there with him. He you know, had, I believe he had Daniels in high school as well as a coach, but I know he had, he worked with Daniels at Arizona State when Daniels was at Arizona State before he transferred to LSU. I think maybe there's a move there for the Raiders to jump up and get the Patriots, and the Patriots to come back after they acquire, you know, more draft picks from the Raiders or whatnot, and then maybe take a quarterback like a Bo Nix in the latter round of the first. If J.J. McCarthy's going projected in the top five, guys, I'd like to tell you that I had this draft mapped out. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. Like, I had J.J. McCarthy in the second round. If, you know, mid second round, not like the Giants taking him in the second round. You know what I mean? Like, I had J.J. McCarthy going back a little further. But hey, look, if Bo Nix is still available in the early second round and the Giants don't pull the trigger on that, I think they're kind of foolish, because that's the best. Yeah, I'm saying it. Bo Nix is the best quarterback in this draft. Not that it's a highly touted QB draft anyways. I think it's masked with a lot of marketing and a lot of you know, hype and hoopla just to sell a lot of you know, a lot of commercials and a lot of merch and a lot of, you know, deals, or you know, NIL deals. Well, it ain't gonna be NIL deals, but a lot of deals outside of their contract or whatnot. These are not good quarterbacks, guys.
Yeah, I'm still a firm believer in Penix. I get it. I totally get it. But this isn't, I haven't been on the Penix bandwagon since the Sugar Bowl. I mean, this goes back to
What's making you hot on Penix again?
To me, he just seems like he's
had a good pro day.
He had a great pro day. I mean, he showed some speed that I didn't think that we'd see from him. But I think
he ran 4.6.
Yeah, 4.5, 4.6.
I don't know if the speed was ever the question. It's the durability, right?
Durability, yeah. And I think the thing is that's where I keep going back to him as a great example, where he's going to go later. And he's going to wind up in a situation to where there's not offensive line issues. He's going to have weapons on the outside, probably going to have a halfway decent running game. It's not going to be solely on him. It's these first guys that we're talking about that there's going to be this immense pressure on them. And I'm here to tell you, I mean, it is going to be a Penix. It is going to be a Nix. It's going to be one of these guys that comes out of this class and is going to be the better quarterback than all these top, the 1, 2, 3 guys.
I'm with you too, it's what you said just not too long, not just a minute ago, how they're falling into a better situation, right? And it's also this here with Rob, like if Mayo does what I think he'll do, it's he'll roll out Brissett, right, and then have these guys learn from Brissett. Patriots aren't in a win now mode.
No,
they're not.
No. No,
they're trying to acquire good personnel, establish good roster movement, and try and build back to the AFC crown or the AFC East crown, right? They don't have that much. They don't have that much further to go when you're looking at the Jets and, well, hell, the Dolphins are the new Kings, I would guess. The Fish are pretty damn good, but they can reach the Fish within what, 3 seasons, 4, 2, maybe two. Yeah. The window for the Fish isn't exactly huge either, man. Like, they're built for like win now, right now too, because those contracts for Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle's going to want a lot of money as well. Tua, after Tua's deal, like there's a really good chance that it could fall apart for the Fish pretty quick.
Exactly. And that's just that right there, talking about, you know, some folks may say, well, Brissett, I mean, he's no good or whatever. Look, a lot of this is, and when you say sit behind, a lot of this is, to me, when one of these young guys comes in and they're going to sit behind a guy like Jacoby Brissett. I mean, Brissett is not going to hone those guys' game. Those guys play their own game. They have their own style. They're going
to teach the little things. That's
all. They're going to learn the business. They're going to learn the business. They're going to learn how to be a paid, extremely high paid professional in the NFL. They're going to learn the NFL life. They're going to learn the locker room. They're going to learn all of that shit. And that's huge. Because if you don't figure that out,
learn how to lead a team. Like, Brissett might not be the greatest quarterback, but he knows how to lead a team.
The best two examples. I mean, look, when Pat Mahomes got to sit, I mean, look at him. I mean, he sat behind Alex Smith, and look how well he did. The late, great Steve McNair, when he goes to the Oilers/Titans, he sits for a couple of years. They were shit. They were no good. And then by the time he got to go, I mean, he let him do a Super Bowl. I mean, they didn't win.
I agree with everything that you said there, Rodney, but I mean, Patrick Mahomes is on a different level. I mean, I don't think he would have had the success that he had right after Alex Smith, but I think if you would have inserted him into the lineup his rookie season, I think he would have done all right.
Well, but if he'd have gone, I mean, I don't remember when he got drafted. I don't remember who had the number one draft pick or who was the worst team the season.
I know the Bears moved up to take Trubisky ahead of him. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, a lot of it is kind of back to what we're talking about. It's got to be the right spot. I mean, it's got to be the right spot. And that's like talking about these Texas wide receivers. You know, it's like one of these guys, I have a feeling, is going to get to catch passes from that guy. Great fit. Good situation. That's a hell of a lot better than going to play for the Redskins. so that's a big part of it where this draft gets so intriguing. And that's looking at the mocks. I mean, like your Giants, for example, I'm seeing Malik Nabers now. And put him head to head, him and Harrison. I mean, who's better? Probably
it's
Harrison.
Not even that. Like, I know
throw that dude the ball.
The whole gripe has been Daniel Jones not having a top tier wide receiver or whatnot, or tier one wide receiver. You think his problems are going to be solved and fixed by one Malik Nabers? No, he can't stand upright. He can't stand upright because his line's too weak. There's too many holes in his line. I say you fix the line first, and then you go get him some toys. How much longer is Daniel Jones going to be there? Like,
well,
at least three more years with that contract. You're not going to be able to get rid of him. Hopefully you get him something where he can just soar, flourish, and you can have that golden turd polished and sell it, because it's
exactly what it is. And you let your best player go play for somebody else in the district.
Not only is somebody else, not division. Just somebody else, Rodney. You didn't let him go play for somebody
them.
Else.
Them.
You let him go play for them. You let him go play them. For them. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I've said it, Gabe. Gabe, my man, back home. I'm telling you. It's like, and I hope I'm wrong for the kid's sake. I'm just not bought in on that guy. So we'll see. We're getting close to the draft, man.
Draft's on next Thursday, I believe. It's on the 25th. So.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Damn, we are close, man. Jeez,
absolutely. Hey, everybody out there, all you pickleball players, if you're ready to gear up with the gear that's made right here, crafted in Austin, look no further than Pick Sports Gear. You guys seen the video of me falling down on my ass? Well, look, I didn't have Pick Sports Gear on. That's the reason. If I would have had those excellent crafted clothing, the apparel line that they have, I would have had breathable gear. I would have been able to stretch. I would have been able to move, and I wouldn't have fallen on my ass. From the top-of-the-line paddles to the premium accessories, they have everything you need to dominate the court in style. Plus, keep an eye out for the demo days that just happened right down there at Baldwin South. They're also going to have some more demo days popping up in the next week, so make sure you're keeping your eye out there. Check out for the website for the locations and details, and then gear up with Pick Sports Gear today, because you got to get ready. Their clothing line drops this summer. They already got their hats out now, but they're going to have even more shirts come out, a new line coming out. Show off your Austin-made excellence on the pickleball court. Now go play some picks. Learn more at www.picksportsgear.com. That's PIXsportsgear.com.
Absolutely. Good stuff right there. How about a quick word from our wonderful friends over at Covert Bee Cave? It's Wednesday. It's Ladies' Day here, so you people be nice to Hayden.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert Bee Cave.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick GMC, Cadillac Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Covert family serving generations of Central Texans and beyond since 1909. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now. Sure as hell. Not ever, my man, Wags.
Doing some work here, my guy.
Oh, okay. I was like, I saw it go dark. I'm like, did his power go out? What happened right there? No, it, the draft, I mean, it's still, I don't know. I mean, the first three, I mean, I still like Daniels. I like Daniels, but I know it's going to be Caleb. But I think what's going to be more intriguing and just looking at it, you know, from the Texas standpoint is where do those guys end up? I mean, I keep hearing Jonathan Brooks to Dallas. That one seems to be something that's going to continue to happen with the Cowboys. You hear of maybe the Cowboys taking a quarterback somewhere in this draft. That'll be something to follow. I've heard that the Texans are planning to make some moves in the draft and shit. It's like,
what do the Texans need? I feel like the Texans got everything they needed. Maybe stir up a little bit on defense and maybe get a piece of the offensive line. But
well, I think that's the thing about it, that they're in such a great position, Wags, where they can stockpile, you know, with these rookie contracts and stuff that they have. You can really build this thing up. And geez Louise, man, when you look at the AFC South, it's like Houston. Do you think Houston is Kansas City? Obviously, is the benchmark.
I'm hoping Diggs doesn't ruin what Houston has going.
Me too. Me too.
Because it feels like it feels, and maybe it's unfair, you know, to put this on Diggs, but it does feel like he had a little bit of a fallout with Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, and it feels like it wasn't exactly working out well for him and Josh Allen towards the latter portion of the season last year. Again, I'm speculating. I don't have any concrete solid information that I've read to make me feel that way. It's what I observed during the game. And of course, anybody that's played football, you know, your emotions get the best of you. Everybody's an alpha and you want to win. You want to win as passionately as, you know, just as much as the next guy. We all just go about different ways of doing it. You know what I mean? I hope I'm not being too unfair against Stephon Diggs. I really hope he's able to control his ego or whatnot and understands that, hell man, that he's not just, you know, the only person on this, in this wide receiver room. There's some dudes that CJ Stroud can work with, man.
He's
part of the arsenal now. He's not the arsenal.
It is, you know, I hope that, you know, when the move was made to get Stephon Diggs in there, that it was a very clear cut conversation, exactly alluding to what you're saying. It's like, dude, you are one of several. You are one of several right now. Great point, Jake. Chargers are the AFC Cowboys. And now with Jim Harbaugh there, they're really going to be the AFC Cowboys, because it's like a lot of focus that's going to be on them there for the Chargers of Los Angeles, as they are now called. But yeah, the Diggs thing, and you know how that goes. I mean, we saw it so many times with Terrell Owens, you know, on his many travels that he made throughout the NFL, to where it's like he was the locker room, sorry to use the word, but he was the locker room cancer that really brought, I mean, destroyed Donovan McNabb and the Eagles. I mean, the 49ers, Romo and Dallas. I mean, it was like, I mean, there
was Gorilla a bad teammate, or was he just, did he just do antics outside of the locker room?
I think he was just more about him. I think he just, and a lot of these guys, it just seems like they draw attention, you know, I love how you talk about it on the Wagner Wire. Like when you guys are doing fantasy football and you're about to rate the receivers, you say, okay, let's go to the divas. Cause that's really what they are. I mean, that's what they are.
I feel like everybody calls them that. Hey, we do got an athlete of the week to present, right? Right. We also got some basketball to talk about too. We got some playing games that are happening tonight that we got to get in. So it's athlete of the week. Rodney, I'm going to pull this up. I believe my Portuguese is a little stale. I need to polish up on it just a bit, but I believe this is saying that she is a Brazilian
soccer player.
Volleyball player.
Oh yeah. Volleyball. I'm sorry.
I believe she is a Brazilian volleyball player. And this is our athlete of the week. Do you have a name for her, Rodney?
Key is all that I could find.
Key is all that you could find.
Key was all that I can find. I don't know if that's a nickname or what it is, but I can tell you she does some work for Modelo. So she endorses beer. And I'll tell you something else. I think she does something for Playboy. I don't know if she's some sort of model right there, but I haven't seen any nude shots of her.
What sport does she play, Rodney?
Oh, no, sorry. She plays volleyball.
For what team? Volleyball player.
Big Brother Brazil. Big Brother Brazil.
Brazil is a show. It's a show.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Let's see. Big Brother.
It's a
show. No, man. That's a team. That's also a team.
It's not. I can guarantee you it is not a team.
All right. Hold on here. What is this?
I love it. Yeah, she's.
I don't know what she qualifies
for athlete of the week. I don't know if she's a
with the emphasis on ass.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, my guy.
Yeah. 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 We'll take it. Let me follow her thing here. Yes. Yeah,
you follow her. You figure it all out.
She plays volleyball. She plays volleyball. She also endorses sports betting in Brazil. So she does that as well. She also does have an OF. I haven't gone there yet, but
So it says that she's an athlete. She played volleyball in 2000. She's playing volleyball in 2025.
Yeah.
She does not belong to a club. She is an OnlyFans model, Rodney. She's a Playboy model. She is not an athlete. You slipped one by me here, sir.
Oh, damn it, man. I just Googled female athletes, attractive female athletes, and she popped up.
Yeah, well.
Well, I saw one picture.
Due diligence. Go to Sportsbook. Go to, you know, sportsreference.com. Look them up there. If they're not in there, then they're probably not a professional athlete.
Wags, I saw a picture of her with volleyball. But then again, you know, I hold a golf club. I guess that doesn't mean that I play on the LIV Tour or the PGA, right? I could take a picture.
I'm on the PGA Tour. I'm on the Pro-Am.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I qualified. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Are you serious? I wouldn't be here, Rodney. Are you serious? No, dude. No, man. We got some basketball to talk about. We already talked a little bit. We flirted a little bit with the Lakers and Pelicans last night. Sacramento getting a win. We mentioned that as well. Now Sacramento and the Pelicans will play. The Lake Show. We talked about maybe, you know, flirting with the tactic and strategy to
lose,
come in and be seated as the eighth, hopefully to play Oklahoma. But now, I mean, I think you did what you needed to do. You did the right move. You had to solidify your spot regardless. You can't flirt around that much. Disaster could happen, and you wouldn't even be in the damn playoffs if you try to get too cute with it. Be that as it may, Denver will play the Lakers. We'll break that down when we get in, you know, to the first round of the playoffs there. Yeah. And then now tonight, Kings continue to go on against the Pelicans. And then tonight we have the Heat versus 76ers. My bid's in on the 76ers, especially with Embiid. You kind of alluded to it 2 weeks ago. You know, if Embiid comes back, the Sixers can make a run at this thing. I was kind of on the fence with, you know, why chance it if he's not 100%, don't even allow him to come back.
Yeah.
Don't even, you know, entertain the playoff game here. Take a dive a little bit. Maybe you've tanked before. Hell, that's kind of how you acquired Joel Embiid in the first place, man. Sure. You tanked before. Go back to that scene just a little bit. Maybe you acquire a little bit of a draft pick to come in there and help out Maxey in the, you know, in the perimeter. But now, I mean, since Embiid's 100%,
yeah,
maybe this two-man game can work between he and Maxey, and they can make a run at this thing. They're kind of my sleeper pick for the East to get in. I feel the East is absolutely irrelevant. I've seen a lot of pros out there that actually think that Boston can upset any team out of the West. And maybe it's because of what we were talking about last week, how Boston should kind of be able to cruise, right, and not have that much wear and tear on the personnel or whatnot. And then also, you know, the West just beaten down by all the brutality that they're going to go through, you know, with the studs and the stalwarts of the West. So,
yeah.
Again, man, maybe the opposition is going to be too much in the West, and, you know, they'll beat each other down for Boston to actually capitalize and poach this thing and kind of hoist the Larry O'Brien.
Yeah, I mean, it really could be, because the West is going to be a fight. I mean, the West is going to be a fight. I mean, you know, even like the you know, I know the Lakers are 0-3 against Denver this year, but I mean, let's get to the playoffs and it's a totally different scenario. That shit doesn't matter anymore. I mean, it's like you start looking at that stuff and you get to playoff basketball and it's like, yeah, you may have lost a season series to them, but I mean, so what? I mean, it goes back to you got to win the series. But the 76ers, I mean, like we were talking about when Embiid came back and the thought of him coming back, I mean, you can go into that two-man game. And I happen to think that the 76ers, like you're saying, I think they could sneak up on people in the East. I mean, I really think that they can.
Yeah, the East East isn't that fruitful. No, it's really not. It can be taken, man. And if we talked to Keenan, you know, a couple of days ago. He's got a buddy that does writing, that writes for the Miami Heat or whatnot.
Yeah.
And he doesn't believe that the talent's there and the magic can happen like it was made last year, right? Obviously, it's a completely different roster. And you're going up against, you know, one of the best big, if not the best big. I know there's still an argument between 1A and 1B between Embiid and Jokic. Yeah. But look, I mean, this dude is one of the best. You can't deny that, man. And when he's on the floor, the 76ers are one hell of a threat, one hell of a feat, that's for sure, man. So, look, they can make a run. I feel like they will make this run. I got them over the Heat tonight. I also have the Bulls.
Yeah.
The Bulls winning over the Hawks as well, my God.
Yeah, they're at -3.5, they being the Bulls. Like Rob says here with about Boston, and I think a lot of that is talking about grit. I mean, I think a lot of it is they're playing the East, and like you're talking about.
Well, no, it's more than just playing in the East. I mean, you got to look. You got Jason Tatum. He's arguably one of the best players, top 10 players in the NBA. Top five's tough. That's tough. You're talking about Rushmore of the NBA right now.
Yeah,
He's close though. He's definitely top 10. Brown. I feel like Brown's, you know, top 15. He's or maybe top 20. Maybe I'm just giving him too many roses. And then I mean Zinger. They got rid of Smart, you know, they lost a little bit of good of perimeter defense, but I mean, they acquired, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and he's been, you know, fantastic protecting the rim. He's also, you know, he's not the unicorn that he was when he was drafted or whatnot, but then with that wingspan that he has, and he's, you know, the perimeter shooting that he can still be able to pull off. He's a mismatch nightmare. Boston's got it figured out. It's not just that they play in a watered down East. They got the talent to actually beat and topple. They're the only team. They are the only team that can go seven games with Denver, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and it's like you said. I mean, the thing about it is they're going to come in fresher. I mean, they're going to still have gone through this. They're probably going to have played less games.
Yeah. You can expect maybe sweeps or gentlemen sweeps. Yeah.
Absolutely. So they're going to come in crisper, but I mean, maybe it works the opposite direction. That's where I look at some of these teams, like talking about Philadelphia. It's like, okay, they're in the play-ins here. I mean, everybody else is off. You know, it's like, I mean, they come in like we talk about with baseball. It's like when you have to go through the wild card, when you have like the Rangers, when you have to go through all that, I mean, you come in and you've got all of that momentum. Maybe that plays in for, I would say, the 76ers, because Chicago, they're going to get in, but I just don't.
Can you say momentum in baseball, or do you just say focused? Like, usually I just go with the ball club's focus right now. Like, I can't really say that there's momentum except for, and hell, I think it's because I heard Cal Ripken say it when I was a little kid or whatnot. He's the only momentum is the next day starting pitcher in baseball. That's the only momentum.
Yeah.
In baseball,
right? Yeah. Yeah. I think momentum is hard in baseball because it's so slow. I mean, it's
a different game each day, man. Right? Like, it really, like in basketball, it's all about the stars, and in baseball, it's usually all about the arms.
Yeah, you know? Baseball is so streaky. Baseball is so streaky. You know what I mean?
It's game like of runs. It's a game of runs.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it really is. And then you got Texas baseball. They're on a streak. They're on a streak, all right. Like that streak on your tidy whiteys when you forget that the white. Good. They look that good bad.
Here. Hey man, what's Gabe talking about, you know, with Cardoza here? What do you want? You want us to bring her on as athlete of the week? What are you talking about? I know she got drafted. Hey, it's gonna be her and Angel Reese in Chicago, though.
Yeah.
Talk about the Twin Towers, man. That's gonna be a dynamic duo. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Instead of those two banging up against each other, they're gonna be banging everybody else. That's for
Bad
choice of words right there, but still, you guys know what I'm talking about. Banging around in the paint.
I see what the with Miss Brink. I mean, Miss Brink, a very, very. Hey, but look, I don't. I think Caitlin Clark's attractive. I mean, I think she's an attractive girl, lady,
okay,
woman,
okay,
whatever.
I'm going to talk about audiovisual consultations because we got to talk about a little bit of hockey before we get into the next. It's only an hour, the next show. Audiovisual consultations. If you're watching Stanley Cup playoffs that have just taken shape and formed, you're going to get a lot of hockey talk coming up in the. You know, the midday show, I believe Tom McKay is coming on there with PK. I hope, don't make me a liar, but I believe I read something about that yesterday. So anyways, hopefully you're staying tuned to that. Get your, get your notepads out because, you know, make sure you're taking down some notes with this dude's picks. He's the hottest thing. He melts the ice with his picks, man. He's that good. He's got an algorithm. I don't know how he does it. He finds a way to pick winners every year. He usually goes with the net miners and, that's probably going to be a good recipe for success. But whether you're watching NHL or NFL or NBA, we got the draft coming up for NFL next week. You got to be dealing with audiovisual consultations. 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. The very best in audiovisual automation, been setting the standard in the Austin Central Texas area for the past 35 years. Make sure you guys give them a call right now or go to the website and see the gallery of projects that they've done over the past 35 years, and you will get an idea of what you want in your house, whether it's the two TVs that I have or the four that BK has. It's all deadly, man. You get it done with avconsultations.com.
That's right. Before hockey, don't forget, friends, if you want to get rewarded for listening to Texas Sports Unfiltered, of course you do. Not only the great content, but you might as well check in with our friends at Autograph. Co-founded by the congressman, soon to be once again for the third time NFL quarterback Tom Brady, they are redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom, like listening to us right here on TSU. The Autograph app gives you access to your favorite Longhorn content in one place and offers you rewards like tickets, exclusive merch, and a whole lot more. You're already listening to TSU. You might as well get rewarded for it. Really cool stuff that you can find on that app. Head over to your app store on your mobile device. Search there. Search Autograph. Search Autograph. Download it for free, and you can start using that app. And you got to use the promo code TSU. TSU like Texas Sports Unfiltered. Once again, and that link is in the YouTube description as well. Autograph. Download it today and start getting rewarded.
I don't think we can use the line or the actual nugget that Tom Brady is going to the NFL. I don't think we are allowed to say that. Do you have facts? Do you have proof that he's going back to the NFL?
He said he would.
He said he would. He's not going back. You said soon to be quarterback.
Well, that's a bold prediction. Bold prediction. I went here, Wags. Like every life decision I ever have to make of any kind of value, I went right here, and it said most certainly.
To the eight ball. To the eight ball that does nothing for you. You know what? I actually asked that eight ball if I would be a millionaire when I was about 13.
How'd that work? What'd it say?
It said could not determine.
Oh, well.
Then I shook it again and said, outlook not so good.
Said, you're going to wind up doing a show with a Mexican dude.
Hey, man, don't threaten me with a good outlook. I never thought I'd be in Texas, to be honest with you, my guy. I thought I'd be in Maryland for, you know, eternity. But here I am down here in the land of God's country.
Glad you were here.
Do they call Texas God's country, or is that, you know, up there the uncharted range of Montana?
I think Texas calls itself a lot of things, and I'm a lifelong Texan, and it's like we call ourselves a lot of things down here, you know what I mean? And it's like okay, and it's like as I travel, I meet people and I'm like, I'm from Texas, and some people are like, oh, that's really cool, and then other people are like, oh,
sorry.
Apparently we're full of ourselves. It seems like that some people.
I've never met a Texan that I didn't like. I'll say that. Well, that's a lie. I've met a few people that I really can't stand, honestly. That you kind of mentioned, it's not about being the geolocation where they're at. It's about just being the asshole that you are. If you're full of yourself, I'm probably not going to like it. Anyways, the guy that I do like is Tom McKay. He's going to be on in about an hour after it's only an hour, talking a little bit of hockey. But yeah, my Caps got in last night. Wild fashion. It was going to go into overtime. It was supposed to go into overtime. But instead, John Tortoletta, pulls Philadelphia's goalie, with about 3 minutes, a little over 3 minutes left to play in the game. And sure as shit, Oshie nets, you know, the empty netter there, give him the second one of the night. And Caps get in. I understand the strat. I just don't play. I mean, and it's an aggressive move. And, you know, and to hear what BK said, you know, it made sense, you know, in the crosstalk, it made sense.
Yeah.
But I still, like, I don't know for sure that Philly would have lost in overtime. I still think you got to play for, survivability at that time. I mean, and, you know, honestly, you want to try and get the extra skater to go up on Washington. I mean, that is, I guess that's the move. I didn't really think about it until that time came. So, mm-hmm. or until we talked about it this morning.
Well, it's like we were talking about with the Lakers. I mean, yeah, ideally you don't want to play Denver, but, you know, do you take the chance of losing again? I mean, and it's kind of the same situation right there. I mean, it is very much, I mean, you got to play to win the game. I mean, that's the bottom line.
You play to win the game. That's can I get some picks from you for hockey before we get into this? Before we get into the playoffs next week?
Absolutely. Give me time to study.
Hell, I mean, in a couple of days. I mean, I think we're going to take a night or two off and then get into Lord Stanley here.
I've actually already started. Look here. Well, hold on. I'm not ready to tell you that yet. But I've already started. I've already started, so
my guy taking notes. I like it, man. I like it.
Let me formulate, my man. Let me formulate. Learning hockey, my man. So the object is to put it in the net, right?
100%. The object.
Just making sure
that's Jordan and to be able to outskate outskate everybody else or to outskate the opposition. Who you liking from the West? I mean, clearly the Dallas Stars are one of the favorite teams. They're the top team. I'm actually going to be in the minority here, and a lot of people think that the Dallas Stars can actually take this thing. Until you prove me wrong, I'm going to go with Colorado here. I think the Avalanche are one of the top teams as well, and I think they're going to be able to shock the world. Not shock the world. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to take down the Stars when it's all said and done with them, represent the West as going to the finals.
Right. Yeah. No, I actually think Dallas. I mean, the two teams that I follow when I follow hockey are Dallas and Charlotte. And it's, I follow Charlotte because I got a lot of friends over there that send me hockey stuff about their club, you know. So, but no, I think Dallas is going to come out of the West, dude. That's solid. Solid.
Dallas out of the West, and a lot of people probably think Boston out of the East, but Florida's the top team out of there. Hey, look, man, the Blue Shirts, I don't want to give them too much credit, but Sal's Rangers are looking pretty damn good. They can skate with some of the best of them out there. I like the Rangers to represent the East, not just to represent the Metropolitan, but yeah. I think it will be Colorado versus the Rangers when it's all said and done with. We'll hear what Tom has to say about those picks. Well, obviously, Tom's got probably some of the best picks out there, so make sure you're tuning in to Midday with BK and Tom today. I believe that's the lineup. It is time for It's Only an Hour. I got to get ready to scoot here too. I got a meeting that usually my meetings happen on Monday. It got canceled yesterday and it got moved to today. So I got to get ready to fly. And there's the boys as we speak about it. Yeah, speaking of the devils and they appear. What's up, Jordan? What's up, Jeff?
How are you doing? I've got
Jeff. I can't believe you're alive. I thought you tortured yourself to death last night at the dish.
Oh man, that was. Sorry, I was blowing you guys up on the.
No, you're good, man. Hey,
you were saying what I was thinking.
Yeah. It's better to text us than jump off the ledge, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, when I'm ready to throw in the towel on Texas baseball, stuff has gotten serious. You've reached a critical point. Hey, my Stanley Cup Finals predictions, if you want them, I've got the Hartford Whalers and the Quebec Nordiques. How's that sound?
The best sweaters in the game right there, the Hartford Whalers. best sweaters in the game.
I kind of dug those Quebec Nordiques jerseys back in the day.
They were tough too, dude. They were tough too. But the Whalers, man, with the green and you had the stale fish there, the tail. That was hot. That was really. Oh my God, my Northeast just came out of me.
Who's the team that Emilio Estevez plays for?
Oh, those the Ducks.
That's the Ducks. You know
what I mean? That's right.
Yeah. The Anaheim. They need to go back to that old school Mighty Ducks logo.
Yeah.
They don't need to be messing with the
Disney have copyrights on that? I don't know if Disney has.
You know what? I think they do, actually. I'm sure they do. There's got to be something they can work out, though. It's got to be a nice throwback.
Sorry, I had to send an email out.
The Ottawa Senators, are they still a team?
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
Man, because every time
they're not. No, they're not.
They're not?
No.
So who became the who did the Ottawa Senators become?
The Washington football team.
No, I don't know.
See, the only time I, and no disrespect to Tom McKay.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Ottawa's in the East. I'm a moron.
Ottawa, the Senators are still a team. Okay, good. Good. It's good to know.
Moron. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking that the Senators moved out of the West, but no, they're in the damn East.
Okay. It's good to know. It's good to know.
Jeff, do you need the box score from last night? I found it.
Box score. Wags, you got to run.
Yeah, we got to get ready to bail. What were you going to ask? Did you have one more question?
No, Rodney had something for me.
Yeah, I was asking Jeff if you need that box score. I found it. Dude, I know it's not up for Texas on Texas Athletics.
20 free passes. Mm. 20. Mm. 9 hit by pitch, 11 walks.
Dude, that's
it's a four-hour game.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Man,
I watched most of it. I've got Augie queued up. I didn't play it on our show because it's probably a little too rough. But man,
this team's not good enough to get the Augie rant.
No.
You only get to use that like maybe once a year.
Yeah.
And look, it's one thing if you go to Minute Maid and you lose to LSU and Vanderbilt, and even if you lose a game every now and then to Texas State, did you get your
destroyed?
You get your PUD smacked in by UTRGV, and dude, that is there's no excuse for that. That's indefensible.
And I was telling Wags, it has to happen when A&M becomes the number one team in the nation.
Yeah, that's not going to help David Pierce at all.
No.
That's from a perception standpoint. You lose the RGV on a night when A&M run rules Air Force and is the number one team in the country. Looks like they've got a really good chance to go win a national championship. Jim Schlossnagel's team does. That was a damn good team. And when they came through Dish Falk earlier this year, and I try to tell people, A&M's probably got one of the best offensive teams in the country. If they pitch with any level of consistency, they're going to be in that thing.
They are.
But man, for Texas, and man, but the thing is, Rodney, the Big 12 is. I know Texas is not great, but the Big 12 is so bad.
Yeah,
and they're only two games out of first place.
Yeah,
with as up and down as this team has been this year, would it shock anybody if they actually went out and won that series or swept TCU this weekend?
I know.
No, because TCU's been terrible this year.
Yeah,
by their standards. Yep. So yeah, it's CB points it out. It's 15-1 at one point. It's one thing. It's one thing to be 2 and barbecued in Omaha. It's another thing when UTRGV is just beating you like you stole something.
Yeah, 17-9, and it wasn't that close.
No,
tell me,
no,
ass whooping.
Where is this? I'm trying to figure out how I can. No, I'm not going to share my screen. I actually have too much stuff pulled up. But
I don't think we can share our screens, Jordan. But
no, Mr. Kellner gave me privileges.
Oh, he did?
So I can't. Yeah, I got a bunch of buttons and shit now on my StreamYard, but I don't know what any of them do. It's kind of intimidating. I don't really want to fuck with it.
It's a lot. There's a lot on there. I got to go, boys. Y'all have a good show. Rodney.